And he says, there's a way for you to be like God. Adam should have said, we're already like God. So he believed the lie from the beginning. Eve believed the lie from the beginning that they weren't, and tried to find a way to be like God roundabout, not through God himself. And it's been the same lie ever since. All roads lead to God. That is such a lie, you guys. And to be a good pastor, to be a good father to you, I have to tell you that that's a lie. The truth is, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. See, Jesus is inclusive and he's exclusive. What does that mean? He's inclusive because anyone can come to Jesus. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes, anyone can come into this family. Anyone can be adopted as a son or daughter of the king. Inclusive, right? But it's exclusive by the fact that Jesus says, no one comes to the Father but by me. It's a narrow door, but see, that door is open to anybody. That door is open to all who would come and walk through it, but you better believe it's a narrow door. Wide is the path that leads to destruction. Narrow is the path that leads to life, and few find it. I pray this morning you would be one of the few. Not everybody in this room is going to be there on the last day. And Jesus will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. To some of you in this room, sadly enough, he will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. Not because he didn't want to. He wants to know you, but the door is narrow. So he's inclusive and he's exclusive. I have to be honest with you guys. Pluralism, some of you might not know what that is, and I'll explain it. That's a lie as well. Pluralism is the new belief in our postmodern society, which is what's called today. We're a postmodern society. It's this belief that you can actually hold two contradictory truths in both hands and believe them both. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Oh, and I love going and practicing idolatry and debauchery, and I'm in all this sin, and that's fine too. And that's fine. Or I can be Christian and Islamic. There's actually a new thing called Chrislam. If you've ever read the Quran, it's entirely contradictory to the Bible. But that's the pluralistic society. I can hold both truths. Lecrae puts it in a perfect way. If you know the Christian rapper Lecrae, he says, what if my truth says your truth is a lie? Which truth wins? Come on, man. It's literally what he says. If my truth, the word of God, claims that your truth in a lie is a lie, somebody has to be right. It's just nonsense to believe you can have both. And most of you intellectually would say, yeah, Rob, that makes no sense. Like, no, the Bible is the right way. But then your life shows pluralism. Your mind might not agree with it, but then when I look at your life, I see you claiming the truths of Scripture, claiming that Jesus is Lord, and yet your life hasn't been changed. There's no transformation. There's no power. And the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but a matter of power, Paul says. So you talk like it, you don't look like it. So you might not agree intellectually with pluralism, but you live like it. My goal today is that you would walk away not only intellectually understanding Jesus is the way, but walking in the way. You would walk in the way. Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, Joseph Smith, they're all dead. Dead guys make really bad gods. They can't give you what you need. They will never set you free. They don't last for eternity. And they'll rob your identity. Some of you are saying, well, Rob, I know that. I've been trained to be a Christian. I've been raised in a Christian home. Like, I know, I mean, those things aren't even on my radar. Well, maybe your false god isn't a false prophet. It's simply just an item. Right? You can break out the word idols. I got this from Mark Driscoll. He breaks down the word idols. The first letter, I, items. O, others, or D, I'm sorry. D is, I can't remember, D. O is others. L is actually longings. And S is sufferings. And he talks about how our idols take on many shapes and many forms. But I just want to hit the first one, items. So some of you aren't, it's not about Muhammad or Buddha. I mean, that stuff's not even on your radar. Maybe it is. Some of you are exploring different truths. I hope you come to know the one truth. But most of you, it's probably an item. So you're like, yeah, Rahab, dead guys make bad gods. Well, so does marijuana. So does sex, and so does alcohol. And so does reputation. Some of you are like, well, Rob, that's still not even on my radar. Well, neither does media. It makes a really bad god. The weight of, can't you just fulfill me? Can't you just give me everything I need? No. That thing will crumble. And when that thing starts to crumble, your identity starts to be in crisis again, and you're all the way back in the garden. Crap, how do I be like God? And you either come to know the true God, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, or you just find another idol. Those are the only two options. I want to say that one more time. Whether they're dead guys or whether they're idols, which are dead things, they can't give you what you need. They will never set you free. They don't last for eternity. And they'll rob your identity. But not only does this passage claim that Jesus is inclusive and exclusive, there's more to it. And this is the beautiful thing. This is the thing the Lord revealed to me in my study time about this. Because I've always known that this passage was a claim to Jesus being the only way to God. But what the Lord revealed to me in my study time was that not only that, it gives you the three ingredients to a holistic Christian life. Holistic being healthy, complete, total freedom. When you're walking in the holistic Christian life, there's something about you that just resonates with others. It's attractive. It's strength. It's not the Christian life that I was talking about earlier where it's just hypocrisy. So I want to put up that PowerPoint. And again, the Lord gave me kind of a three-in-one triangle. And I know in the Gospel of John earlier, we studied biblical belief and how that comes through faith, revelation, and obedience. And not always in that order, it depends on the order. But God gave me this other triangle about holistic Christian living. So let's hit the first one. Jesus says, what's the first thing he says? I am the way. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means he's the example. That's why we talk about following Jesus. That's what that means. Looking to him as the example. Doing what Jesus did. Walking how Jesus walked. Living how Jesus lived. You're like, Jesus, show me the way. And sometimes we get so narrow-minded and tunnel vision. Show me the way to this college or that college. Show me the way to this girlfriend or that boyfriend. Show me the way. And we get in this so small perspective that God's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's stand back a little bit. How about you just show me the way to be holy? Show me the way to love you rightly. Show me the way to love others and have compassion. God is much more concerned about that. It's called his general will. Will he speak to you his specific will about which college to go to? Yes. But when you're walking in the general will, start to walk in obedience. And all of a sudden that stuff just comes because you're on the path. And when you're on the path and the path turns, go to CCU, you just follow it. But you're on the path because you're walking the holistic Christian life. So the first thing, if you'll put that up, put up the next one, actually. I'm doing them out of order. That was right. Go back. That was right. I'm sorry. Moral imperative. What does that mean? That means you actually have this longing to do what's right, and you look to Jesus. That's the moral part. And the imperative is that it's important. It's right now. You got to live and do what's right. And the only way to know the way to do that is to follow Jesus. He is the way. He is the perfect moral imperative. He is perfection, right? So you want to live a moral life, you got to let Jesus come in. And it's not just trying to mimic Jesus in your own flesh. You got to let Jesus come in, live through you, and all of a sudden, you're in the way. You're doing what he would do. You're praying what he would pray. You're saying what he would say. Jesus does this all the time. He says, I only pray what I hear the Father praying. I only say what I hear the Father saying. I only do what I see the Father doing. They were this one. They were this team. They were one flesh. Almost like husband and wife. We make decisions together. We walk together. We're on this road together. Jesus is the way, the moral imperative. That's the one aspect of holistic Christian living. It's just one of them. But there's something about that, that you start walking in holiness and it's actually relief and it gives you wholeness. We try to separate the two. I want wholeness. Jesus, give me wholeness, which means health and joy and peace and patience. And you just want to be a whole person, not a broken person, but you don't want to walk in holiness. See, if you want to be whole, but you continue walking in habitual sin, you're not going to be whole. So some of you hear the word holiness and you're like, oh, that sounds like a burden. No, it's actually an easy yoke because he comes in and he does it. If you're the branch and he's the vine, what does the branch do? Nothing. It just sits there. If you stay connected to Jesus, he'll live through you and you will exert holiness and that will bring wholeness. And man, that's attractive. You see someone walking in holiness, oh, it's convicting. It's convicting. But man, it's attractive. It's like, what do they have that I don't? Well, it's health. It's wholeness. But they got it through holiness, the moral imperative. They followed Jesus the way. He's the way. He's the example. You're like, man, the old adage, right? WWJD. What's it stand for? He's the way. What would he do? The perfect moral imperative. What would he do? Let's go to the next one. He's the way, the truth. If you put the next one up there, cognitive comprehension. Your way of thinking. Cognitive just means of the mind, the way of thinking. Comprehension is your understanding, right? So you have this intellectual understanding. You actually know what's true and what's not true. You know what's right and what's wrong. You can stand upon the word of God. And when a lie comes at you like the enemy tried to do at the beginning, attacking your identity, saying, hey, I have a way for you to be like God. I'm already like God. I'm a son of God. Get out of here. Because you know the truth. You actually have a cognitive comprehension of the truth. That's a part of living a holistic Christian life. See, some of you are trying to walk in holiness. You're trying the moral imperative part, but you don't know the word. You don't know the truth of God's word. So you don't even know what to do. You're like, yeah, Jesus is the way. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to spend time with Jesus. And you pray, which is amazing, but you haven't added to it the word. You haven't studied the word. Some of you, it's the opposite. You have the word, but there's no actual unction in your spirit, which just means motivation in your heart to be obedient to it and to have that moral imperative where you're actually going to follow by allowing God to take over, not by trying harder in your flesh. So you need a cognitive comprehension. This is why we have things like Bible class. This is why I preach the word on Sunday mornings. Yes, it's to change your life. Yes, it's so you encounter God. Yes, it's so that you walk out of these doors and you're more holy than when you came in, or you allow God's holiness to more shine through you, I should say, because you can't be more holy. Christ is in you. You're holy. It's becoming more aware of that reality and walking out like that so he can just shine through you more. But I'm also here so that you just learn the word. Sometimes it's not always, man, I hope this is an emotionally impacting message and it just rocks me to the core. Sometimes it's just information being conveyed. But that information will change your life if it's obeyed. Let's go to the third one. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So the next one, experiential encounter. Experiential encounter. If you only follow Jesus' example like a good teacher to do what's right and you're allowing him to live through you, you know what's right and wrong, you stand upon the word of God, your house is built on a rock, not on sand, not man's ideas, not Rob's ideas or philosophies, it's built on the truth. You've got that cognitive comprehension, you understand, so you got the way, you got the truth, but you don't have life. You've never encountered Jesus. Who has met people like this? I've met people like this. They know the word, man. They actually have a moral, upright, like, spirit to them. And they walk in some sort of holiness, but they've never encountered Christ. They're not passionate. They don't enter into worship. They don't bring him up in conversation. It's not something they're just so excited to tell you about Jesus. It's private, and it's hidden. It's intellectual. They know their stuff, man. You get in a Bible debate with them, they're probably going to win. And they act moral and upright, just like the Pharisees, but they're whitewashed tombs, the Bible says, which means inside they're dead. They've never had an encounter. Hopefully that's what you get every Sunday morning, is an experiential encounter. That's what I want. I want you guys to encounter the Lord in worship and through his word. There's an encounter happening. You're actually experiencing. There's emotion involved. It's exciting. It's passionate, especially when you're a teenager. You guys want to experience it. You want to go on roller coasters. Why in the world do you go to the, you know, haunted houses and stuff? Because there's something about that, bah, the adrenaline rush. You know, I used to longboard Ward Hill. Why the heck did I do that? Experience, man. I wanted the excitement. Some of you, unfortunately, only stop there. Want the experience. All right, man, we're going to actually sit down in small groups and study the Word of God. Oh, no, no. I'll see you next Sunday. No worship. No high. No, we're just going to learn intellectually. No, no. Pass. Why do we have 85 on Sundays and 30 on Wednesdays? I know you guys got homework and it's tough and it's not condemnation. I love you guys. I'm proud of you for showing up either way. But why is that? Because some of us stop here. We want experience. We don't want to actually learn this stuff. Some of you might have the experience and have the knowledge. You've gone to Christian school your whole life, so those two are pretty much a sealed deal. But you don't have the moral imperative. There's nothing in your heart that actually says, you got to do this. With knowledge comes responsibility. And I know this stuff. I actually have a responsibility to do it and allow Christ to do it in me. Do it all within me. My prayer today is that you would walk in all three of these things. That Jesus in your life would be the way, the truth, and the life. I wanted to just go back a little bit and give you examples in the Gospel of John that I've already talked about of how he is these three things. Take about 8 more minutes of your time, and that'll leave you 15 more minutes to just hang out. We'll end a little bit early. Okay, so when Jesus says he's the way, I want to remind you of my first sermon on the Gospel of John called The Word Become Flesh. The Word Become Flesh. So that's our scriptural parallel for Jesus is the way. What does that mean? I gave you the example of riding a bike. Someone could tell you about riding a bike all day, right? They could coach you. They could write a book on it. You could look at little pictures, right? Watch a video about it. But until you get on that bike, man, and you just start pedaling, you have no idea what it feels like. And in the same way, Jesus, God, all throughout the Old Testament, do this, don't do this, do this. Man, if you do this, I'm going to have to punish you. Oh my goodness, why are you killing each other? Okay, no killing, time out. I mean, God's always trying to implement his righteousness on the earth. And then Jesus just comes down, says, look, I'll show you the way. It's like this. And all of a sudden we're like, oh, it's like we got on the bike. The Word became flesh. I get it now. I see it with my own eyes. And Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What about the truth, Rob? What else in the Gospel of John is the truth? I mean, that's why this statement is so powerful. He's been building up to it and building up to it. What about the truth? Where do we see that in the Gospel of John? Well, earlier on in the Gospel of John, he talks about being the light of the world. And he's not just walking around glowing like a glow stick. Light always in Scripture is a metaphor for understanding. Your mind was in darkness, meaning you didn't get it. You didn't understand. You don't know the truth. You're in ignorance, right? It's like getting pulled over by the cop for speeding. You didn't even know you were speeding. Where's the speed limit sign? You were in ignorance. And that's how we were. We were walking in sin, disobeying the laws, but we had no idea. What were the laws? I mean, we're just, Jesus comes down and in his grace reveals himself. This is who God is. These are his standards. I will show you. If you're in me, I'll do it through you. He's the light of the world. And the example I gave you back then was about the light bulb moment. What does that mean? It's like, oh, light bulb. What does that mean? You finally get it. Jesus comes to show you how to do it the way. Jesus comes, light bulb, the truth. Where else in the book of John do we see the life? We just talked about it last Sunday. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. What happened to the friend Lazarus that we read about? He literally came back to life. He was dead, and now he's alive. And we talked about spiritually, you were all dead apart from Christ, and now you're alive. You got to take off the burial clothes through accountability and transparency. So I hope you see how these sermons have been building. This story in Scripture has been building to this clause, to this statement, to this claim. You know what the cool thing is, you guys? Jesus is the perfect mirror. Let's go back to the beginning. We were made in the image and likeness of God. What does that mean? We're mirrors. We're mirrors. Did you know the moon has no glory in and of itself? It actually radiates no light. You know what it is? It's a big rock. The moon is just a big rock. But man, you shine the light of the sun on that big rock, and all of a sudden it's something glorious. It's something bright. It lights up the earth at night. It's a light in the darkness. You know what you are on your own? Nothing. You're just dirt. Literally, you're made from dirt. But you shine the light of the Son of God. And all of a sudden, you guys can be glorious. You can radiate his light in a dark world. You can be a light in a dark place. But you're still a broken mirror. See, you were a good mirror. Not a perfect mirror, but we were, Adam and Eve, we were good mirrors, man. We reflected the character of God. The glory of God, the love of God to the earth, the stewardship of God, even to the animals and the plants, the way we treated everything. But then we became a broken mirror, a fractured mirror when sin entered the world. But Jesus came to restore all things, and you're a new creation in Christ. That means he's restoring that mirror. So when others look at you, they say, you look like Jesus. Or maybe they don't even know who Jesus is. They're just like, I want to be like you, because they really want to be like Jesus. He's restoring that mirror. That's why I want you to walk in freedom. So his glory can be revealed to others. If they walk up to you and you've got all these fractured parts of your mirror, they're like, wait, you claim to know Jesus. You claim to be a reflection of him. I'm not seeing him. Oh, there he is. Oh, no. Because it's like a house of mirrors, all morphed and distorted. But Jesus came to fix you, to make you a mirror again that reflects his glory so you can have the fruits of the Spirit. Peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, love, goodness, self-control. And you shine those things out and like, that's who God is? God's a loving God? Oh, I want to know him. Wait, God is honest and has integrity like you? Oh, that I want to know that God. Have you ever met somebody and you're just like, man, they just remind me of Jesus. It's a beautiful thing. And we're not doing it in our own strength because Jesus is the perfect mirror. And that's what he summarizes this passage with. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What does that mean? Perfect mirror, man. Look in the perfect mirror. If you guys fix your eyes on the perfect mirror, your mirror will begin to be restored. And all of a sudden, people will see Jesus in you. So here's the big idea. The big idea. You ready? If you're taking notes, write this down. Only a daily, intentional, personal, and interactive pursuit of Jesus will lead to the holistic Christian life. Let me say it one more time. You guys can write it down. Only a daily, intentional, personal, and interactive, let's break those down for a second. So daily, every day, man, you are pursuing those three things. Those three things. You're following him as the way, you're following him as the truth, you're following him as the life. You're pursuing those three things every day. It's intentional. It's not just going to be on accident. You're not just going to wake up and accidentally start to live the holistic Christian life. You got to be intentional about it. It's personal. It's you and him. He might reveal something to you cognitively that day through the word of God that then later you actually go and obey and you have an experience. But it's just between you and him. And all of a sudden, you and Jesus, just you two, are walking the holistic Christian life. It's got to be personal. And lastly, it's got to be interactive. You got to communicate to him. You got to get with him. You got to spend time with him. So one more time. Only a daily, intentional, personal, and interactive pursuit of Jesus will lead to a holistic Christian life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. We're going to watch this last video to summarize, and then I'll pray and wrap us up. You guys wouldn't mind getting these lights too.
Jesus is not a man who became God. The first lie in the history of the world is that you and I can become God or part of the divine. And that is a lie. The truth is not that we become gods. The truth is that God became one of us. That God humbled himself and came on a rescue mission to seek, to serve, to save those who have sinned. None of us can say that we are without sin. None of us can make this claim. In fact, even those of you who are not particularly religious, you have likely said this at some point. No one is what? Perfect. Jesus says, except for me. Jesus alone is without sin. Jesus is God come to the earth to proclaim the love of God, to demonstrate the love of God, and to live the life that we have not lived, to live as a substitute on our behalf. The reason we believe that Jesus Christ is the only God is because Jesus Christ repeatedly, emphatically, unapologetically, openly, publicly declared himself to be God. Buddha never said he was God. Krishna never said he was God. Confucius never said he was God. Muhammad never said he was God. No other major religious founder has ever made this claim. Jesus stands alone. And friends, this statement, this truth claim, it is true or it is false. And if it is false, Jesus is the most damnable liar in the history of the world. He's telling us to pray to him, to confess sin to him, to trust him, to follow him, to give our lives to him, to give our dollars to him, to give our deeds to him, to give our days to him. And if he is not God, then he is the most despicable, damnable man who has lived on the face of the earth. But if he tells the truth, he is God. And God alone can forgive sin. And Jesus says, I forgive sin. I forgive sin. And every other religion will tell you, here's what you can do to deal with your sin. You can follow this path. You can adhere to this plan. Jesus says, I'll take care of that. I'll just forgive you. There's nothing for you and I to do. Friends, there is nothing for you and I to do to experience forgiveness of sin from God. All we do is trust in Jesus. He lives without sin. He dies for our sin. He rises as our Savior. He then ascends back into heaven and he opens a doorway into the presence of God and the kingdom of God. And he invites us to pass through it by trusting in him. He is the maker of heaven and earth. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Son of God. He is the God-man. He is our humble servant. He is the man of sorrows. He is the good shepherd. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the dragon slayer. He is the sinless Savior. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the sinner's friend. He is the great high priest. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And he is the way, the truth, the life. Jesus, while on the earth, asked this question, who do you say that I am? That is Jesus' question for you today.
So, Lord, we just come humble before you. Thank you for revealing who you are. We don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder. We just have to believe. Who do you say Jesus is? I say he's God. I say he's the way, the truth, and the life. I pray you come to agree, to believe, and to live as if that were true. So Holy Spirit, come, bring conviction, bring life. Only you can change a heart. Only you can change a mind. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys are dismissed. Enjoy your time. Glory to God.
After all I've had.